like to continue to worship him. And as we've been talking about the last few weeks, we want to take up a special offering for the Jula Language Project. And Renee, could you come up with me? And as we are worshiping, I felt like the Lord wanted us to do it a specific way. I had several different thoughts, but this one I really felt like the Lord wanted us to do it. First of all, I want to encourage everyone. You don't have to give lots of money. I mean, if you had a dollar, a quarter, something that you can put and sow some seed into the Jula people and them getting the word of God. I really don't know anything more important for any nation, any tribe, any people group is to receive the word of God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the word is Jesus. And so I just want to really encourage you to get behind this. And if you don't have much today, and if you'd like to, just to be led by the Spirit of God and be purposed in your heart. But here's what I felt like that the Lord was wanting us to do today. And I want to take one of these baskets. So we're just going to use this one particular basket for the Jula language, and I'm going to set it over here on the step by this bulletin board. And then I'm going to put the microphone over here because I felt like the Lord wanted us to not only worship, and then you guys too, if you had some prophetic decrees, but to really be specifically focused on the Jula language. So I'm just going to ask you that as you feel led by the Lord, just and we begin here, I'm going to start, Renee and I are going to start, that you would just come put your offering in that basket. And then if you have a prayer or a decree, something short, nothing really long, and just take the microphone. I'm going to leave it on. I'm going to stay up here and just decree over the Jula people. Can we do that? Just to pray and decree over them. And then as the worship team too is just led by the Spirit of God, if they have a song or some prophetic decrees and song, that feel free to do that, and we'll just see where the Lord takes us from that. Is that pretty clear? Is that good? Okay. So again, I just want to really encourage you to be part of this. This is an ongoing project, and we're going to see it all the way through. $35,000 is the goal to get the audio Bible to the Jula people, and Anna put together this board, and we have a little thermometer over there. We don't know exactly how much has been given yet. We're still waiting to hear back from Faith Comes by Hearing, but we know we've given a minimum of $10,000 so far towards this project. That's minimum. I know it's a little bit more, and it might even be a lot more, depending on other congregations that have given to it, towards that. So, are you ready? We ready to be part of this? All right, praise God. I may have better turn this on. Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to partner with you and with the Spirit of God and connecting with people, Father, in another hemisphere to see your word go forth into the Jula people, Lord. We thank you for that. God, I thank you for those here in this congregation that are givers and that want to partner with you as well financially to be able to give to this. And we just say to the Jula people, make way and make ready for the word of God. For the word of God is coming to you, and the word of God is powerful. So we say, open your ears to hear, open your hearts to receive, open your eyes to see. So we say, those that are dead, spiritually dead, you are coming alive and coming awake. Jula people, the Spirit of God is coming. So prepare and make way to receive the Word of God. Glory be to God. Thank you. You can just come whenever you feel led to. Glory be to God.
And we say, Lord, that the Ivory Coast is filled with the glory of God. We thank you that the glory of the Lord covers this land like water covers the sea. We thank you that the Jula people are people of the living God. We thank you that the Jula people are our inheritance. For the Lord has said the heathen are his people's inheritance. So we call forth our rightful inheritance into the family of God, into the kingdom of God, and we release the knowledge of the kingdom into this nation, into this people group, and we thank you, Father, that your spirit is hovering over them even now, drawing men, women, and children to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you made every people, every person, every tribe, every group in your image. God, that you sent your son to die not only for the Jews, but for the Gentile, because you are about a family. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless this project, that you continue to bless Faith Comes By Hearing, every group that is taking your life, your words to the farthest and darkest. Lord, we lift up the Jula people to you today. Lord, as we are preparing this Bible translation, God, we ask that you would prepare their hearts, that you would start to knock on the doors of their hearts, that you would start to soften, that even those who have given themselves over to Islam in the tightest way, who have sowed their souls over there, Lord, we ask that you would start to draw them back now. Lord, you said that the harvest was plentiful. So we just call forth that promise right now in the name of Jesus, that the harvest in the Jula people is plentiful. We call forth their hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would bless this project, that it would happen in an instant and be fulfilled, that we'd be able to move on quickly to another one, that these people would hear your word, that they would hear your heart for them, that your love would spread and go forth in the name of Jesus.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else have a word or decree or glory? Thank you, Lord.
Father, we agree with Renee and with Anna for everything they said. We agree with it all the way. We believe it, and we're going to see it. But mainly, we thank you that you're going to also bless 100-fold for all those that give unto this. 100-fold so that we'll have more and that we can get it done quicker and that we'll have more to give towards the kingdom of God, which is many, many millions and billions of souls that we want for you. For that is our job, to win by your power souls to come unto the kingdom. It's not your will that any should perish, but all should have eternal life. And that is what we want. And we thank you that you'll do it all because it is your will. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Lord, we just speak a blessing over the Jula people. And we know that they are your delight, Lord. You created them from the beginning of the earth, and you spoke a blessing over them. You favor them, and you say they are very good. Lord, we pray that they would take their dominion, they would take their rule and their reign, Lord, in the earth, in your name, Jesus. We pray this blessing over them in Jesus' name.
Yes, glory be to God. Glory be to God.
I thank you, Father God, that you have expanded our tent pegs to include the Ivory Coast and the Jula people, and that they are ours, Father God. They are our brothers and sisters. And Father God, as we sang today, that every language will sing with all creation, Father God, we will live to hear the Jula language and our language together, singing praises to you and praising you as our Lord and King.
Anybody else? Amen. Did you have something specific? Glory. Bless you, Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, amen. Well, the few of you that are still standing, if you'd like to stand, you can. But if you want to sit, make yourself comfortable. Settle in, because the Super Bowl doesn't start till 5:30, so I got some time. How many of you excited for the Super Bowl? Some of you probably have. Okay, there's four of you. That's good. Praise God. Thank you so much. And the Lord will be glorified in this and getting His word. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. So many things going on, man. It's just, it's crazy that the kingdom is advancing, and the devil is shaking in his boots and trying to stir things up and get people off track and trying to pervert ecclesia with his government, and just, he's trying everything he can, but he's so far behind what the Lord is doing and so confused and has no idea, really, just know his time is short. And God has given us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what he's doing and what he is about. And he's moving mightily, and I just want to jump in stream with him, don't you, and just move mightily along with him. I do. Just whatever God is, whatever the Lord is doing. So I want to remind you, too, that we're starting another project at the end of this month. It's a Kansas City Bible Experience. It's a reading through the New Testament in 40 days, 8 weeks, 5 days a week. And I'm just encouraging everybody. I don't know how anybody, any Christian, can argue with reading through the Bible. I don't know how they can say that, well, I just can't do it, I won't do it, I don't have time for it. If you don't have time for it and you're too busy, then you're just plain too busy for the Word. So I'm just, and I'm thank you for those of you that have signed up. Just to remind you, we have a sign-up sheet. This is what the Bible looks like. It's called the Books of the Bible. It is the NIV version, and I'll leave that alone. And it's written all the chapters and verses are taken out of it. It's written more like a book with paragraphs and things like that. And then all of the books of the New Testament are written in a historical sequence in order that the actual book was written. So those of you that have been reading the Bible for years, this is going to mess with your mind a little bit, because the Gospels aren't all in order. All the books aren't in order, but they're in order in the way they were written. And then all the chapters and verses, all the commentary notes, everything's been removed. And that's why they just call it the Books of the Bible, because it's written more like a book. We have lots of these. They're $5 a piece. They also, if you agree to jump in and do this, we might be able to set you up in a small group, because we're encouraging people to actually talk about it, get together once a week, whether you do that through the internet, Facebook, or however you want to do it, or meeting in person to discuss and get the Word of God. And I'm asking you to be creative with this too, and reach out to people, maybe people that aren't even Christians, that maybe just would like, you know, to read and find out really what's in the Bible, or just being creative, however God leads you to do this. Did you have a question, Lana?
I wanted to get an extra Bible for my friend. Do you have enough so we can
read the Bible? Yep. Yeah, we have plenty of these, and if we need more, we'll get more. We have 120 right now, so we should have plenty, but if we need more, we'll end up getting more. It's not a problem at all. Like I said, they're $5. If you're not much of a reader, they also have it in audio form where you can listen to it. And if you sign up on Biblica's website, there's information inside the Bible that on this book, every book will tell you a little bit more about it, and a website you can go to get some more information. If you sign up on their website, they will send you a daily email of that day's readings, a little bit about that particular book. They'll also give you a link for the audio version. I mean, it is very well professionally done. And if I can't mess that up, you wouldn't be able to either. It's very easy. Yes.
Do you have some audio ones here?
No, the audio is actually linked to their website, so you would have to get it that way. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's starting on Leap Day, February 29th, coming up really, really soon. So if you would still like to be part of it or need Bibles, I need you to see Anna. Okay, because Anna's going to keep track of all those and the payment and all that. So if you need a Bible, they're in the office, but you need to see Anna about that. And then also, if you would do something else, if you're going to do this by yourself, if you would please put your name on the sheet out in the foyer. And then if you're interested in being part of a group,
Please let us know about that too. Yeah. Anna, would you stand up and do a dance, spin around? She is our administrator, our administrator for New Covenant. And so if you need really about anything, you know, administrative-wise, you can always see Anna for that too. All right. I understand, you know, Wednesday night here, I know that, was it Bethel Worship was going on at the same time, and some of you guys went to that, and Matt was telling me that during that Bethel Worship, somebody read the prophecy from Bob Jones about I don't know if they talked about the Royals. Did they talk about the Royals too? Yeah, about the Panthers and winning the Super Bowl. In what would happen after that. And so at the same time, we didn't know that was going on either. I showed a video of Rick Joyner talking about Bob Jones's prophecy, the exact same prophecy. And if some of you have no idea what we're talking about, if you have internet access, it is that video we showed Wednesday is on our Facebook page for New Covenant. And you can get a link to it and watch it. And I would encourage you to do that. But the prophecy, just to keep it short, who does not know who Bob Jones is? You don't know, and it's okay if you don't. So most of you do. Bob Jones was a prophet. He died a couple years ago now. He originally was from Independence, and he had moved out. He's connected with Mike Bickle and connected with a lot of other people, but he moved out and lived at Heritage, which is Rick Joyner's ministry. And that's where he ended up passing away. And he was an interesting guy. I did not know him personally, but I've heard him by video speak many times. And I've heard a lot of his prophecies. And a lot of his prophecies have come to pass. And he had some very interesting prophecies linked to sports, which makes this all very, very interesting. He prophesied in 1985 before the baseball season ever started that the Royals weren't on anybody's radar list then to win the World Series. And he prophesied that the Royals would win the World Series in 1985, and people thought he was nuts, and he did. In this video, if you watch the video, Bob Jones also prophesied. He called Rick Joyner and said this was way before the Carolina Panthers ever was even a football team, and he said, "Black Panthers are coming to Charlotte." And Rick, it's kind of a funny little story, but he was saying, "Are we under attack? I mean, like, what does that mean? You know, because there is another Black Panthers group." and I'm getting ready to say that. And he said, "I don't know, but they're coming to the lumber yard. They're going to live in the lumber yard." Well, a few years after that, the NFL expanded. They were an NFL expansion team and created a football team called the Carolina Panthers. They moved to Charlotte and they built the stadium on the old lumber yard. And so a little bit after that, he prophesied that when the Royals win the World Series again and the Carolina Panthers win the Super Bowl, a revival and awakening will break out in America. So we already have part one. The Royals won the World Series again, and now it's just interesting that today the Panthers, and even favorite Panthers, favored in it to win the game, are in the Super Bowl today. And I really like your shirt, Matt. I don't know if people saw Matt's shirt. But he said, did you see his shirt this morning? It says Carolina Panthers, but on top it says rooting for revival. Oh, I didn't even see the back. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. I love it. So how many of you are rooting for the Denver Broncos, but you might switch now? Never. So interesting events going on. I want to continue today with the Holy Spirit, teaching on Holy Spirit. And we've talked a lot about, I kind of got stuck a little bit with the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and talking a little bit about that. And here I've got a question. I actually posted this on Facebook this week. Who is discipling our nation? Right now. Who's discipling it? We could determine who is discipling a nation, any nation, a group, a city, an area, a region, a people group, by what is it looking like and what is it becoming? What does it look more like? And that'll tell us what who's discipling that nation, who is teaching it, who's training it, who's shaping culture. Yeah. Because the majority of what we call the church has taken a back seat and have just allowed. They have allowed this progressive, humanistic domain of darkness to creep into our school system and rewrite textbooks and disciple our children. We've allowed it to creep into every one of those mountains, into the government mountain, even in the ideas and human reasonings of our minds, of the body of Christ. Yeah, I'm just talking about Christians right here, of our minds, because we have been so discipled by our culture and teaching and training in the family mountain. And we have, for the most part, I'm not saying everybody, but for the most part, we have relegated, we have delegated, we have, what's the word I'm looking for? Given over, we've relinquished our authority in discipling our children to the school system and to other things that are out there. And we've really taken a step back from our influence into culture, into every one of these mountains. And really, it is really time. We've got to take a serious look at this and get engaged with what's going on. Those of you that are parents that have kids in public school, you're already aware of some of the things that are being taught to your kids. There are schools. There are schools, ours. We could raise up in a delegation and take our schools back. It doesn't take hundreds or thousands of people to change something. It takes one, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to continue to allow our government to do everything that they want to do. Especially in this country, with a government that was designed to be by the people and for the people. But if we take a back seat, or we stay in the back seat, like so many Christians have been, then really somebody else is going to continue to disciple this nation. Somebody else is going to continue to disciple our schools, which is discipling our young people, which is training and shaping their minds. And when they go to colleges, and I don't think we even need to discuss the shape of our colleges with the liberal, humanistic, the stuff that is being so imparted to our young people. So really, who's discipling the nation and what are we going to do about it? Jesus, on the day he was water baptized, most of you I'm sure know the story very well. The Bible tells us that he went to John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptizes him in water. As he comes up out of the water, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God came down on him like a dove. A voice, God speaks from heaven and says, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The immersion, we've talked about baptism being an immersion. Not just an immersion in water, but God wants us to be immersed in Father, immersed in Son, and immersed in the Spirit. Jesus himself is our example. He did not preach one message. He didn't try to heal anybody. We don't even have where he tried to lay hands on anybody before he was 30 years old and before he was baptized and baptized in water. We have no record that Jesus attempted to do any ministry until he was baptized with the Spirit. And we see immediately when Jesus comes up out of the water, he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible tells us right from there, it's the Spirit of God that led him into a wilderness, into this dry place, into this lonely place. The Spirit of God is now on him, in him. He's filled. He is immersed into the Spirit of God. And the first place that the Spirit of God takes him is a wilderness. To be tested, to be tempted by the enemy. The Spirit of God has now equipped Jesus. Jesus had to live like a human being, just like you and I. Now he is equipped for the wilderness. Now he's equipped, fully equipped for the onslaught of the demonic realm. Now he is fully equipped to be able to stand tall in the tests of the storm. Jesus wasn't led into the wilderness before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's after. Are you getting a hold of this so far? The so absolute importance and priority of being baptized and immersed in the Spirit of God for just life, much less for prepared for ministry. So Jesus is our example. Let's pick up here in Acts chapter 1. We already talked about how the coming of the Holy Spirit was prophesied in at least three scriptures specifically we talked about in the Old Covenant. Let me just read to you Joel. Joel 2 says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And once the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that's the exact passage, one of the exact passages that Peter quotes to say this is what's happening right now. This was the coming. This was the prophesied coming of the Holy Spirit. That now supernatural signs and wonders and miracles are being released to the body of Christ. And this is not just for the apostles. This is not just for the Jews. It's for all who will receive him. That now we can walk in this. John in Luke 3:16, we talked about this. John answered and said to them, "As for me, I baptize you with water, which is a baptism for repentance, which is a baptism for salvation, a baptism for coming and being born again. You are identifying with Christ, standing in the water with his death, burial, and resurrection to newness of life. I baptize you with water, but one is coming who's mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And John, and we're going to look at this later, probably not today, but John said with the Holy Spirit and fire, which is also important. John 16:7, we looked at this scripture as well. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And we're gonna dive into all of the different descriptive words used to describe the Holy Spirit. Here Jesus uses the word helper, which is the word parakletos in the Greek, which means it's the one who is called alongside to help you. If I needed to move this podium, it's a little heavy by myself, I can do it, but if I wanted to really move it with ease, I would ask Richard and he would grab hold of the other side and that's what the Holy Spirit, he's our helper to move it. He's not our doer. And too often we're praying, "Holy Spirit, would you go do this and would you do that?" Or, "Lord, would you do? No, he's our helper. He helps us to do. He helps us to be. We'll look at that in much more depth as we go along. So Acts chapter 1, we already looked at this too, but let's reread it. Jesus, verse 4, gathering them together, his apostles, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for what the Father has promised, which he said, 'You already heard this from me. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What is Jesus saying? Don't go anywhere. This is so important. Do not try to preach a message. Do not go lay your hands on anybody to pray for them for healing. Don't go try to start anything, do anything in ministry. You wait for this. You wait for this promise that the Father has given. You are going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, so when they came together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? Jesus is like, guys, stay on track. Stay focused here. Stay focused. First things first. It's not for you to know times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. And as you know, this is the Greek word dunamis, which is the word dynamite, where we get the word dynamite from. So he's not just saying power, he's saying you will receive an explosive amount of divine power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You are going to be equipped to do what I've called you to do, to live how I've called you to live. You will then be equipped to be my witnesses in every place of the globe. Without this, you're not equipped. So don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. You will be, you receive power, verse 8 again, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, which is also the word martyrs. It is. In the Greek, that is the word martus, which is martyrs. You shall be my living dead ones. What I want you to see here, too, that being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues. Very powerful as well. We'll talk about that. But the baptism and complete immersion in the Spirit of God equips us to live as Jesus called us to live. Who's going to disciple our nation? Who's going to disciple the Ivory Coast? Who's going to disciple the nations? Who's going to disciple them? How are we going to disciple them? With our human reasonings, our human plans, and our human programs? Well, we've been trying that for a long time. How did Moses do it? By supernatural signs and miracles? How did Daniel do it? By the supernatural gifts of being able to interpret dreams and God put them before kings? How did Joseph do it? With his supernatural gift of being able to interpret dreams and he brought them before kings? How did Samson do it? But he used the supernatural gift of strength. How did Solomon do it? With the Holy Spirit imparted supernatural wisdom. See, it's the born again people filled and immersed with the Spirit of God, manifesting Christ, manifesting the glory of the Spirit of God, manifesting the gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of the Spirit. It's those people that are God's using to be an example of who Jesus is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is, what kingdom is, because they're living kingdom and supernatural power and wisdom and understanding, and they're being brought before kings, they're being brought before nations, and we'll see nations one in a day. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit does not make you weird. If you are weird and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're weird and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are weird before you were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you that. Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. I mean, you get a weird person filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were a weird person before that. The first miracle Jesus performed was the wedding at Cana. And he turns the water into wine. And he mixes the water of the Word of God, the wine representing the Spirit of God. He's not doing away with one for the other. It's a mixing of both. When you have the Word is so important. You know, as we are going to take on this project of reading through the New Testament in 40 days, I'd like for you to remember, as you're doing that too, of people like the Jula people and others, many others all across the world that don't have access to the gospel. They don't have access to the Word of God like we have access. We need to remember that. So God takes Jesus, his first miracle. There's going to be a wedding at the end of the age. You're aware of that, right? The bride and the groom. So it's at a wedding, and he mixes these two. And I want you to keep in mind for today is the water were in pots, and the water was sitting there. They filled these pots used for purification, but the water was sitting there. Water comes in many different forms. We can have water that just sits in a cup, sits in a bottle. It's not active. It's just sitting there. I can open up, I can tap into it, and I can drink it for refreshment. Or we can see water that is coming down like the Niagara Falls, rushing, or at an ocean, just waves, or a tsunami that just comes in and just cleans everything out. Water has come in many different forms. Or we can see water frozen, and it's ice. There's different manifestations of water. There's different forms of water. Back to Acts chapter 1. You will receive power, explosive, dynamite type of power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my martyrs, my witnesses. You know what a martyr, let me just talk about that for a second. What is a martyr? It is one who has given up their, when we typically think of martyr, one who has given up their natural life. But in that process, not just giving up, but it's in the process of being a witness, witnessing for the Lord through the death of their physical life. But the Lord has called us to be the living dead, which I mean by that is we are to witness for Christ through the death of self. In that, we become his witnesses everywhere we go, like we've talked about. It's just like, how many people have you witnessed to this week? I've witnessed to everybody I've come in contact with. I may not have been perfect. I may not have used words. But because of our lifestyle, because of the way we carry ourselves, because of the presence of God on us, we witness. Because why? We're the living dead. We have given up. We are dead to self. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to be able to do that. See, religion says, I got to try to do it. I got to work it on my own. No, the Holy Spirit gives you. He's our what? Helper. He helps us to become what God has called us to become. He helps us to do what God has called us to do. Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my martyrs both here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come. Let me talk about that for just a second. Kind of skipping a little bit here. I may have to backtrack. How many of you know what Pentecost is and what Pentecost means? Nobody? Pentecost, and just the definition of the word, means 50th. 50th. This is, see, I believe we need to have at least some basic understanding of God's calendar. We confuse it sometimes with the Hebrew calendar. We can call it that, but it's really God's calendar of his seasons, of his times, and of his feasts. Because he fulfills his feast in the right time. For instance, there is four spring feasts and there's three fall feasts that God has said to observe. All four of the spring feasts have already been fulfilled in Jesus, but the three fall feasts have yet to be fulfilled. Passover, which we now call, because we're not on God's calendar anymore, we call it Easter, which it's almost like a month apart this year. It's crazy. We call it Easter. But Passover, you remember the first Passover when Moses when God commanded them, what did they do? They put the blood from the sacrificed lamb on the lintels of their house. And if they were under the blood, they were in the house, they were covered from the death angel that went through the city. You remember the story? That was a sign and a type of what? Of Christ. So Jesus, it was on Passover, on the Passover celebration, that Jesus was crucified. Not only was it on the Passover celebration, it was to the exact hour that the high priest were sacrificing the lambs in the temple, Jesus was being crucified. God does things to the exact timing. That's why it's so important. We know his timing, we know his calendar, and we get on his calendar. Then you have, from Passover, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus was in the grave during Unleavened Bread. Then right from Unleavened Bread, you have the Feast of First Fruits. If you read in 1 Corinthians, Paul says Jesus was the first fruit. He was what? The first one raised from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead on first fruits. So important that we see this, that we understand this. Because God's going to fulfill these three fall feasts the same way he did the first four in the spring. And we can get on his timing and understand how he does things. And he does things in cycles. He's the one that created seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. He's the ones that created the weeks, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday through Saturday. He created these cycles. God thinks in cycles and he thinks linear. We typically think one or the other. We typically think linear. He, in cycles, things go in cycles as they are going in a linear fashion to the end of this age. This isn't making sense at all. The cycles of what? Of the weeks, of the months, of the years. They go around, they go in the seasons, and around, just like he put planets in orbit. They go around, but they also go in around in a bigger cycle. They got days, years, but it's going somewhere. We're going on a linear pattern to the end of this age. And so Jesus is crucified on Passover. He's in the grave on the unleavened bread, and he's raised from the dead on first fruits. 50 days from first fruits is the day of Pentecost. Jesus is alive on the earth for 40 days. He leaves, and 10 days after he leaves is the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came, not by accident. Does anybody know what in the Hebrew or originally what God said was the day of Pentecost? Because it wasn't called the day of Pentecost. It was called something else. But does anybody know why they celebrated on that particular day? For instance, we know that all kinds of people were in Jerusalem on that particular day, the day of Pentecost. Why were they there? What was the celebration about? Okay, Rich, go ahead.
Actually, it was the early barley harvest. But it was typical in the Hebrew families for them to get together that night before Pentecost, when the sun went down, and study the Bible all night long. They called it the Scripture. They studied the Old Testament and the Psalms all night long. So they would have been all gathered together studying the Word.
Yep.
And it was a Bible study. It was a day for them to get together and really study the Word, find God's will, and do those things. So they would have been together on purpose.
Absolutely. Good. It's also called the time from when Jesus was raised from the dead till Pentecost is the Feast of Weeks, because there's 7 weeks there plus one day, which is the 50th day. It was also a time of recognizing of Moses' giving of the law. It's all types and shadows. Everything in the Old Testament that God did and said were all types and shadows to lead us to further revelation and understanding of what was fulfilled in Jesus and what will be fulfilled in Jesus. That's why it's so important. See, we can't really understand the New Testament without having some basic understanding of the Old. You will never. You just won't. You'll know some scriptures, you'll be able to quote some scriptures, but you won't have a full understanding of God's plan in the earth and what he's doing if we don't have some understanding of the Old Covenant, the First Covenant. God didn't wipe all of that away. And so here it is, when they have gathered in Jerusalem, when Moses has given the law, like Rich has said, they are now gathered and they're reading the Bible. Sometimes they stayed up all night, didn't they, Rich? They stayed up all night long reading from the Word. And here on that particular day, it's not by accident that God chose that particular day to unleash the Spirit of God. It's not that the Holy Spirit wasn't available under the Old or First Covenant, because if you study the First Covenant, you will see that many of them, even some of the ones, Moses and some of the others that I had quoted, were functioning in their giftings by the power of the Spirit of God. But typically the Spirit of God was on the priest, the prophet, and the king, and anybody God specifically chose to do a particular function for him. But what's so glorious, too, about the New Covenant and the New Testament, when it comes in light of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit's available not just for the priest and the prophet and the king, not just the ones that are called out to doing specific works. He's available for every one of the believers. Everybody that is born again can now receive in a complete immersion in the Spirit of God and walk in the full dynamite explosive power of the God, of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, that we shouldn't even really do any ministry without it. We shouldn't go into all the worlds. We shouldn't do any kind of ministry without the immersion of the Spirit of God, because God doesn't want us doing it in our own strength. He wants it's the power of God moving and supernatural gifts, signs, wonders, words of wisdom, word of prophecy, special faith, all of these kinds of things, working of miracles and the supernatural power of God. I don't know what happened here. I think I put my hand on my, got really big. Okay, so let's go back to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, on this particular day, oh, I forgot, very important. I don't know what all the versions say, but in the New American Standard it says this: when the day of Pentecost had come, it sounds like, you know, when Wednesday came, you know what I'm saying? When the day of Pentecost, like it was just coming, it doesn't give the full weight of what he is actually saying here. When you look up that word had come, I don't know if in your Bible you have maybe a little number by that, because had is really not the best interpretation there. It literally says this: when the day of Pentecost was being fully or was being fulfilled, they were all together. When the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, Luke is the one, he was a physician, he's the one that wrote this book. When you read Gospel of Luke, when you read Acts, he was very, as a doctor, very, very important to him to have facts and putting things, crossing every T and dotting every I. And he words it, when the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled. So here's the fulfillment of what this particular day meant. And it says, suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them as tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Holy Spirit or the Spirit was giving them the words to speak. Now hold your place there. I want to share just a couple other scriptures and then we'll kind of close it up, because we need to take a look at everything that happened what I just read. It's very, very important. So hold your place there. And I want to go to two passages. They're both in John. John chapter 4 and John chapter 7. John chapter 4, verse 14. You can read the whole story there, but let's just focus on verse 14 for time's sake. Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. Now, he's using water as symbolism again. What did he do at Cana at the wedding? He told them to fill those pots with water. and the water was in pots, and the water was what? Sitting there, just like water in a water bottle. It wasn't rushing. It wasn't being poured out of a sink. It wasn't coming down the mountainside. It was sitting there. So he says this, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water, springing up to eternal life. So what is Jesus saying? This particular water, we can use water for an illustration of the word. We can use it for, the Bible uses an illustration of water for people, but it also uses the illustration of water for the Spirit. So the Spirit, he's talking about springing up, what, to eternal life. So he's really talking in reference to being born again, receiving salvation. And if you receive this water, it will become like what? A well of water in him. That is springing up to what? Eternal life. So it's a water, but it's the manifestation of the water. It's water sitting in a well. It's not rushing. It's not spouting. It's not, you know, gushing. It's sitting there. And on a, in a well, he talks about water in a well. If you want water from a well, what do you need to do about it? You need to draw from it somehow. Whether by a pump or dipping a bucket down in there, you draw from that well, and that water that he's given you for eternal life is there to do what? Refresh you, among other things. But it's really what Jesus said. It's the manifestation of that particular water, and he called it water in a well, water that sits there, but it's available for you. You jump over to John chapter 7. He says, he who believes in me, what is he saying? English word believe is kind of bad. Those who have put their trust and confidence in me, in other words, these are the ones that are already born again. They've already accepted me. In John chapter 4, he's talking about those becoming born again. When you get born again, you have the Spirit like a well of water in you that you can draw upon, and it will give you eternal life. Not a problem. John chapter 7, he's already talking about the people that's got a well of water because he says, he starts off, he who has believed, or already believed in me, accepted me, from his innermost being will flow a different type of water now, a different manifestation of water now. Not, I shouldn't have said different type of water, different manifestation of water. As I mentioned before, you can have water in all kinds of different forms. Water that sits there, water that's spewing, water that's gushing, water that's coming like Niagara Falls. You can have water that's frozen like ice. You can have water in different forms. Being born again, John 4, you have water like a well. It's sitting there. You can draw on it. John chapter 7, for those that have already been born again, you can now receive a different form, a different manifestation. And what's the manifestation Jesus talks about? He says you can have rivers now of flowing rivers of living water. And then in verse 39, it specifically says what he's talking about. But this he spoke of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, whom those who already believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit has not yet given because Jesus was not glorified. So even this passage begins to say when you become born again, you receive the Spirit, you receive the Spirit of Christ, you're born again, he gives you a brand new Spirit, but it's like a well of water that sits on your innermost being that you can draw upon for eternal life. You're born again, you're headed to heaven. But there's a whole different type of manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and it's for those that have already been born again. And you can receive a different manifestation of the Spirit of God. Jesus called it being baptized or being immersed in the Spirit of God. In John chapter 4, it says you can receive the Spirit of God and it become like rivers of living water. A rushing river of water is a different manifestation than a well. Same water, different manifestation. Understanding what we're saying, what we're talking about. Go back. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then later, we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about gifts of the Spirit, but they're manifestations. It's the way the Holy Spirit manifests himself. So with this in mind now, and I'm going to try to close it down. Maybe we'll come back and we'll take a little bit deeper look at Acts chapter 2. Because it's very important here. When the day of Pentecost, verse 1, chapter 2, Acts. Am I going too fast? All right. When the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise. Is that what your Bible says? There came from heaven a noise, or maybe a sound. So it was something audible. Are we in agreement? It's something audible. It was something that was heard because it was a sound. Now this word, well, let me just finish. It was a sound, but what was it a sound like? A cool breeze while you're sitting underneath the cabana? Just gently blowing over a hot, warm day? Coming off the ocean? Now, what does your Bible say? It was a sound like a violent, rushing wind. Tornado, hurricane, whatever. Massive gale force, breaking wind. See, later it says the people heard. I believe that's what they heard. The people that were in the city at the time, they heard that. It was so violent, so rushing, a noise that came from heaven. That's what they heard. So what is happening right here? When the Spirit of God came, there was a sound. This is important. When I'm talking, you hear what? The sound of my voice. So a sound came. Where did this sound come from? It came from heaven. This gives us so much understanding, if we'll open our ears, to what and how important, what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is and how important the baptism of the Holy Spirit really is. It is a sound from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues of fire. Well, let me close with this. That noise. Because the first thing that happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it says there was a noise. There was a sound. This word for sound is actually the Greek word echo. It's even spelled how we spell echo. What's an echo? It's a repeat. It's a reverberation. We've all heard echoes where you make a sound and all of a sudden it bounces off of something and you hear the repeat of that. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the purpose. Because where did the noise come from? It came from heaven. This is so ecclesia right here. This noise that came from heaven was an echo. What did it reverberate off of? Look at yourself. Look around. This noise from heaven came, and it didn't just bounce off of walls. It came to people. And when that sound from heaven came to people, we are its reverberation. We hear that sound and we echo what we're hearing. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It could be a sound of healing. It could be a sound of supernatural works. It could be sound of casting out demons. It could be a sound of a different language. It could be sound of prophecy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. But we hear that sound from heaven and it comes, and once it comes and it hits us, you know, almost everything is got sound to it, sound waves. Scientists are finding more and more and more stuff out about sound. It's crazy. Remember a couple years ago, we had a prophetic word about sound. Prophets have been prophesying new sounds. sound can actually levitate things. Did you know that? Vibrations and words, all of these sounds. Everything in the earthly realm is only a type of a shadow of what's in the spiritual realm and available to us and the people of God from the kingdom. And so the first thing that happened was a sound. That's why speaking when we're filled with the Spirit is so important. It's an echo. And isn't that who God's called us to be? To echo or to repeat what he is saying. Repeat what he's doing. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father saying. I'm an echo. I'm just a repeat. I'm just an echo from my Father. And he also said this, I only do what I see him doing. I see him doing it, and it comes to me, and I just repeat what I see. You getting, starting to get some of this? It's so important, this word echo, and hearing from the Spirit of God. Is there anybody that needs prayer for sickness this morning? Not feeling well, got a disease that you would like to get rid of. Everybody's healed, whole and complete. Wyatt, anybody else? Okay, could somebody go, or maybe a couple of you go and lay hands on Wyatt and pray for him?